All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it, but follow along. I could be up here preaching out of the funny papers, and you'd never know it if you didn't have a Bible open in front of you, all right? Yep. So think about that. All right, keep tabs on me. Keep check on me. All right, John chapter 20. I want to start reading in verse 19. Although I'm going to preach this morning out of verse 24 and following with a message on the disciple Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. You know, like he's the only one that ever doubted anything, you know. So when you get to heaven and you meet him, don't call him Doubting Thomas. I don't think that would fly with him. But every time he's mentioned in the scripture, there's always a little bit of skepticism in what he has to say. And that is the case here in this passage. And I want to show you that this morning. We're going to go back to the 19th verse and get something that happened 1 week earlier on Resurrection Sunday, on the Sunday that our Savior resurrected from the grave. If you'll look at verse 19, it says, then the same day. All right, so what day? Well, if you go back to chapter 20, verse 1, the first verse of this chapter, you'll see that it's Sunday morning after Christ was crucified and spent 3 days and three nights in the grave. So it's Sunday morning, the first day of the week, early when it was yet dark. Mary Magdalene came to the sepulcher. So in verse 19, it says, then the same day at, what's the next word? Evening. All right, so it's Sunday evening now in verse 19. Now, it's real important that everybody understand that. Do you see that? Okay, so the day, Sunday has passed, and now it's Sunday evening, and we're in the 19th verse. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So they're in the upper room, and of course Judas is not there. You remember he has committed suicide. He's no longer with them, and so the other disciples are inside the upper room. And they've got the doors shut and they've got the shutters closed. They're afraid of the Jews. Now you say, well, why would they be afraid? Well, because they have found out that the tomb is empty. Jesus is, he's not there. And so it's got them scared. They're afraid that they're going to come and look for the body of Christ amongst them. So they're afraid. All right, so... So let's go back to the beginning of the verse. Then the same day in the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, with the doors locked and the windows shut, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, folks, let that hit you. I mean... That would have startled me. How about you? They're sitting there with the doors locked, the windows shut, and boom, all of a sudden Jesus shows up. All right, look at the next verse. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. All right, now look at me. I want you to follow this now. So Sunday, Resurrection Day, the first Easter, the Lord Jesus resurrected from the grave. Mary Magdalene went to the grave. Stone was rolled away. And so Jesus, you remember from the other Gospels, said, go tell Peter and John and the others. They ran, told Peter and John. Peter and John came. Christ had resurrected from the grave. So the disciples now know. And they are in the upper room. It's now evening. The Lord shows up. But look at verse 24. When the Lord showed up that evening, they were all there except for Thomas. Thomas was not there. All right? He was not with them when Jesus came. Now look at verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, so when? Well, after he appeared, sometime during the next week. Sometime during the next week. Remember, Thomas was not there on the night the Lord showed up. Everybody got this? I'm not trying to trick you. I'm really not. I'm going to show you something. So sometime during the week, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, well, except I see, shall see the in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now watch this. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas did not have to reach out and touch his hand when he saw our Lord extend his hand and saw the nail prints. That was convincing enough. And when he heard the Lord say, go ahead and reach out and touch my nail prints, that was enough. He fell on his face and he cried out, my Lord and my God. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Jesus saith, verse 29, unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All right, I want to speak to you from this passage this morning, and I want to entitle the message today, Thomas Experiencing Easter. Thomas Experiencing Easter. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God. I pray you'll help me as I speak this morning. I need your help. But I also pray that you will help folks as they listen. And Lord, may we put this together. May we see some wonderful truths about the resurrection. And I pray that you'll have freedom and liberty to move and work in our hearts and draw each one of us into a closer relationship with you. Help us to know. Help us to know that we have experienced Easter. just like Thomas did, that we believe just like Thomas did. And there is no doubt whatsoever that the Lord is our Savior. So, Father, bless us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know, folks, that right here in this man Thomas is a man who has entered into the reality and genuine experience of Easter. He came into the room where the other disciples were still rejoicing over an encounter they had had with the resurrected Savior, and they told him all that he had missed. They told him, they said, "Man, last Sunday night, you missed it, bud. You missed it. Where were you? You missed it. We were sitting in this room and all of a sudden the Lord Jesus appeared right here in our midst." And Thomas said to them, he said, "Well, I'm glad you guys believe it, but I am not going to believe it until I can see the nail prints in his hands and until I can put my finger in the holes where the nails were and until I can touch where they pierced his side, I am not going to believe one single word about all this resurrection stuff." And as soon as he was finished speaking, the Lord showed up right in front of him. The Lord said, "Okay, Thomas, here I am. Here I am. Here are my hands. Here is my bruised side. Thomas, don't be faithless, but believe." And notice that Thomas did not have to touch his hand in order to believe. He fell on his face and he cried out, "My Lord and my God." You know, folks, to most of the world today, Easter is just a date on the calendar. It is just another excuse to have a holiday and get a day off and to give candy and chocolates to one another. It's just a day to put on some new clothes or to get a new shirt and tie or to get a new dress or to take off the boots and put the sandals on. And for a lot of people, Easter is just a time of ceremony or of pomp and of pageantry. It is programmed into the mind of Christendom that, you know, just like Christmas, I'm supposed to go to church today. I mean, after all, it is Easter. But with Thomas, Easter was nothing less than an amazing experience. Easter was not just any old day to Thomas. It was an experience that made Thomas who he was. It was an experience that changed his life forever. And you know, the reason that we have church every Sunday morning, not just on Easter Sunday, but the reason we have church every Sunday morning is in honor of the fact that Jesus resurrected on Sunday morning. So every Sunday is Easter if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it. And Thomas would never be the same again after his Easter experience with Christ. Back in October of 1970, as a 16-year-old teenager, I went to church, and it wasn't Easter Sunday, it was in October, but it was in honor of the resurrection because our pastor took the Bible and preached the gospel and told us that we were sinners in need of a Savior and that Jesus was the living Savior, and if you would trust Him, He would save your soul. And sitting in that church down in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, on that Sunday morning, I heard that gospel, walked down the aisle, got on my knees, called upon the name of the Lord, and just like Thomas had an experience with Easter, I had my experience with Easter in October, and the Lord saved me. Has He saved you? You see, Thomas was one of our Lord's chosen disciples. He was there when Jesus was arrested. He was there when Jesus carried the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. He probably saw the Lord Jesus hanging between heaven and earth as Jesus suffered and died for us on the cross. He probably watched as Nicodemus and Joseph took his body down from the cross and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and carried his body and laid it in the borrowed tomb. And so on the third day, when word came to Thomas's doubting heart that Jesus was alive and that he was resurrected from the grave, it was probably just too much for him to accept. You see, Thomas had watched him die. Thomas had watched him. So how in the world could this man now be alive? But then after seeing him and after seeing the nail prints in his hands, I'm telling you folks, Thomas had experienced Easter in a real and powerful way, and it completely changed his life. You see, Paul would later summarize it this way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what happens when you experience Easter. That's what happens when you trust in the living Savior. Now, let's look at this man, Thomas. Just a couple of three things I want to point out to you. Number one, I want us to look at what the Bible tells us about him. What's the Bible tell us about him? I'm sure that you've heard the old expression, it takes all types to make up a world. You've heard that, haven't you? Well, I want you to know, when the Lord chose his 12 apostles, he chose a bunch of men who pretty well covered the whole gamut of different types of people around this planet. Thomas was a unique individual. Thomas was unlike most of the others, especially in this one area. Thomas was not one for whom faith came easily. He was not one for whom faith came easily. You have known folks who were eternal optimists. Well, Thomas was an infernal pessimist. All right? He everything good was for Thomas too good to be true. Everything good was too good to be true. Do you remember those wonderfully encouraging words that the Lord Jesus gave in John 14 when he told the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, about that time, old Thomas piped in. And he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And the Lord looked at Thomas and said those now famous words in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, folks, I'm here today to tell you that those words that the Lord spoke should have brought Thomas to his feet with excitement. I'm sure that the rest of the guys were sitting there about ready to explode with joy over the announcement that the Lord just made. But leave it to old Thomas to pipe in and pour ice water right upon the whole experience when he said, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how in the world are we supposed to get there? So he is virtually telling the Lord that what he has said is not a comfort to his heart. But that was Thomas. That's just the way he was. And folks, I'm telling you, it's just difficult for some folks to put faith in what they cannot clearly see. Now, let me ask you a question. Look here. Look back at verse 19 for just a minute. I want to ask you a question, and I'm sorry, I really can't answer the question because the Bible doesn't answer the question. I can speculate a little bit, and I'm going to do that, but the Bible doesn't answer the question. But here's the question. Why wasn't Thomas with the rest of the group in verse 19? Why wasn't he there? I have no doubt that all of the disciples were crushed when Jesus was crucified on the cross. I have no doubt all of them were. Every one of these men were filled with despair when the Lord died on the cross. The scriptures tell us that Judas went out and hung himself. The scriptures tell us that Peter fled weeping. The scriptures tell us that the others all disbanded and they fled away from the scene. But it seems that Thomas was the most impacted of all the disciples. It seemed that his fellow disciples were somehow held together by the bonds of all those precious memories and by the bond of a common heartache of losing their master. So in verse 19, they were all gathered back in the upper room where just 3 days earlier, they were served the Lord's Supper by the Lord himself. But notice, folks, Thomas was not there. Now, that leads me to the second thing. Let's ask ourselves why Thomas was not there that evening. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 19. Then the same day at, what's the next word? Evening. Now, think about it, folks. The 10 were there. They're in the upper room. And it was evening. It was, stay with me now, it was an evening service. Now, if this was 2016, if we could just turn this all into, it's not 2,000 years ago, let's say it happened today. If it was 2016 and it was an evening service and Thomas wasn't there, I would have just said, well, it really doesn't surprise me that he wasn't there because like most Christians, they only go to church on the morning. Amen. You weren't expecting that, were you? That didn't cost you a dime either. That was free. Now, you got to admit, that's pretty witty. But it does say in verse 19, then the same day at evening. Now, folks, listen. One of the greatest proofs to me, in my mind, one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection is that these Jewish Christians changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, not to go to a synagogue on Sunday and go through a bunch of routine and a bunch of ritual, but changed it from Saturday to Sunday to go to a church to pray, to preach the Word of God, and to sing hymns of worship to a risen living Savior. And it has lasted, folks. It has lasted. But notice in verse 19, Thomas wasn't there. Now, why? Thomas, why weren't you there? Well, I can tell you it was not because he found spiritual satisfaction somewhere else. Because he certainly did not. Oh, and by the way, neither has anybody else. So why wasn't he there? I'll tell you why he wasn't there. He simply did not believe that that service could do a thing for him. Folks, why is not everybody in Carroll County right here this morning? I'll tell you why. Because they don't think they need to be. The world is satisfied with itself. I've met a lot of Thomases through the years. And had I lived back then and passed Thomas on the street on that Sunday afternoon, I would have said to him, hey, Thomas, you going to church tonight? A lot of your friends are going to be there. And you never know, the Lord Jesus just might show up. It's the third day, Thomas, and word has it, he's resurrected. We've already gotten word that he's resurrected. You going to be there? And the old doubter would have said, no, I'm not going. Jesus is not going to show up. What are you talking about? I watched him die. I watched them bury him. He was dead when they took him off that cross. And I saw it with my own eyes. So Thomas didn't see that going to the service that night would benefit him at all. But now don't miss this. Notice what happened. Notice what happened. Thomas owed a great debt to his fellow disciples, didn't he? You see, his friends somewhere, look at your Bible, somewhere between verse 24 and 25, his friends ran into him. Somewhere during that week, the ones that were there Sunday night and saw the Lord, somewhere in that week they ran into him. And they started telling him about how they had seen the resurrected Savior. "We have seen the Lord," they said. "He is alive, Thomas. We saw him with our own eyes. We have talked with him, and he has talked to us." You see, the 10 who had attended the service had something to talk about. Listen, if you have come to the Lord and gotten saved, you've got something to tell. Amen. You've got a message, folks. You've got something that somebody else needs, and you ought to tell that message. You see, his friends told him about it. He's alive. We've seen him. And so the 10, they had a message, and they came out of that service, all of them, filled with the joy and the radiance of the Lord. And then they ran into old gloomy, depressed, discouraged Thomas. And even with their enthusiasm, they were unable to convince the doubter. Thomas was not just a doubter. He was a skeptical, brutal doubter. And they said to him, "We've seen the Lord." He looked at them and said, "No, you haven't." They said, "Oh, yes, we have." But notice that Thomas gave himself a chance to know the truth. He was basically calling his friends, whom he knew to be honest men, a bunch of liars. And so quickly he began to wiggle a little bit. And he said, "I know you believe it, but I won't believe it unless I can see it for myself. And I can't prove it, but I can hear Andrew." You know, Andrew was always bringing somebody to Jesus. "I can't prove it, but I can hear Andrew speak up and say, 'Well, Thomas, we're going to have another service next Sunday night in the upper room. Why don't you come to that one and maybe the Lord will show up again?'" And sure enough, when they were all together, the Lord Jesus appeared and Thomas saw for himself. The Lord appeared, stood before Thomas and held out his hands and said, "Go ahead, Thomas, touch the nail prints in my hands." Thomas probably sat there and thought to himself, "How did he know? How did he know? He wasn't there the other day when I said that to the other guys. He wasn't there." And Thomas experienced Easter for himself. In verse 22, a week earlier, the 10 had the Lord breathe on them and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And although it does not say that it happened here to Thomas, no doubt it did. And he found what he needed to live a victorious, conquering, joyful Christian life. The point is, folks, he listened to his friends, and when he did, he had the blessed experience of enjoying his own Easter. Wow. What an amazing story is Thomas. And that leads me to the last thing I want to say. How about each of you? Have you experienced your Easter? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? You know, even though we are separated from Thomas by seas and centuries and continents, this same scene of spiritual certainty that Thomas enjoyed is available to you this morning. Have you claimed it? or have you not? Would you like to experience saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you content to be without it? I read this story. It was kind of a testimonial, but I'll use it as an illustration. But I read about a Christian school. I think it was in Georgia. But I read about a Christian school, and they were involved in statewide fine arts competition. And they had a small school, and just about everybody that participated went on to the next level as the school was, as the administration was trying to get the school involved in fine arts. And so they took this whole school to Atlanta for the fine arts competition. And there was a little boy who had, in the third grade, who had painted a sunrise. And the little boy was standing there by his picture, and he was just smiling from ear to ear, so proud of what he had done. The judges were making their way around the room, and when they came to his little painting, they looked down at it, and one of the judges looked at the painting and then looked at him. He looked back at the painting and he looked back at the little boy and he said, "Son, I don't think I've ever seen a sunset quite like that." And the little boy smiled and said, "Yep, probably not, but don't you wish you could? Don't you wish you could?" You say, "I've never experienced anything like Thomas experienced." Yeah, but don't you wish you could? You know, I don't know how folks lay their head down at night without knowing that you're on your way to heaven. Folks, the way this world is, you better do as the Apostle Peter said and make your calling and election sure. So let me just ask you, do you know that if something should happen to you and you were to go out into eternity, do you know that you're going to heaven? And if you don't know that, then you need to experience Easter right here this morning. What happened at Easter? The Savior came out of the grave alive. Death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. He arose victorious over sin and death. That was proof that what he did on that cross was all that was needed in order for our sin to be paid for. So do you know him this morning? All you need to do is see Jesus and believe in him like Thomas believed. Now let me ask you a question. How do you know that sugar is sweet? What'd you say? You taste it. And I want you to know something, folks. If you will just taste the Lord, you will see that he is sweet. If you will but taste, you will find out that he is everything he says he is. Only through experience do you actually become convinced of anything in life. And I'm here today to tell you that after all these years, I got saved in October of 1970. That was a long time ago. But you know, Jesus just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. I've tasted, and I can tell you, it's good. Have you tasted him? Have you come to him? I'm telling you that Jesus is the friend and the Savior you're looking for this morning. I want you just to think about what is in this room this morning. Just think about all the folks that are here. We had more in the early service this morning than what's in this service right now. And so just lump all of those folks also into the mix. Throw everybody into the mix. All of us who know the living Savior, we're like the 10 who are saying to you, "Thomas, Jesus is alive. We have seen him. We have talked with him and he has talked with us. And so you're sitting here, you're saying, well, I'm just not sure. Hey, would you take our word for it? We know he's alive. You say, how you know he's alive? Because I've been talking to him all morning. That's how I know. And I'm asking you this morning if you will but believe. You've looked here and you've looked there, but you haven't been satisfied with what you've seen. You've done this and you've done that, and you joined this church and you joined that church, and you did this and then you went and did that, but you still don't have peace about your soul. Let me tell you something, folks. You need to experience Easter. Thomas did, and it changed his life. My Lord and my God, he cried out. You know what this man did? He went to India. He went to India. Could you imagine that? He went to India, down into the heart of India. A few years back, I went over to preach for Dr. Cherian, and they dedicated a building in my name and the church's name for helping to fund that building and administration building in their college. And when the week was over, we took off up into the mountains to do some sightseeing before we came home. And you go up through these mountains, wind your way around people everywhere, and you come down a mountain, and right there in the middle of a town is a big statue. And it was a statue of doubting Thomas, who is no longer doubting. He left Jerusalem to go into all the world and preach the gospel and died a martyr's death for preaching the gospel of Christ. And still today, there is a monument in the heart of India in his honor. That man experienced Easter. How about you?